Well, today's a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
Hello, my friend. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett with Hope for Your Heart. Thank you so much for joining us today for the broadcast. And on our Monday broadcast, I always like to bring you up to speed as to what God did at Hickory Ridge Community Church over the weekend. So our church has begun a new campaign, and we're calling it Who's Your One? This is not really a new campaign for our way of thinking. It's part of the denomination that we are part of. And I want to encourage you to think about one person this year that you would like to see embrace Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know, if you pray for somebody and you will be intentional about sharing your faith with that person, I believe that God will honor that request for you to see somebody that you know, somebody that you love, pray to receive Christ. You know, the amazing thing about sharing our faith is what I have found is that the more I share my faith, the more people get saved. And the more I pray for people to get saved, the more I'm convicted that I need to share the good news with everybody I come in contact with. So who is your one? And if you have somebody you would like me to pray for, or somebody on our team to pray for, you are welcome to call in to us at 757-421-7500. If you give us a name, and if you want them to be saved, we'll be praying for them this year. And just leave it on the voicemail, or just call and leave it with the receptionist, and we'll be praying for that person on Thursday morning at 5 a.m. Well, we've been going through a series at our church, and it's called 52 Reasons for Hope. And I find in the New Testament, there are 83 verses that use that word hope in it in just the New Testament alone in a New International Version of the Bible. So today we want to talk about hope is our driving factor. Now, if you've listened to the broadcast, you know in the past we have talked about hope being that determination, and I want to talk about hope being that driving factor. Now, there's a difference between determination and being driven. Let me explain to you the difference between the two. When we think about determination, I think that determination is what will get us started, right? We're determined to lose weight. We're determined to be a better husband. We're determined to be a better worker, a better employee. So that will get us started, but it's drive that will get us to the finish line. Jesus himself said in Luke 9:52, he says, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." So we could say in this particular passage, Jesus is saying, if you're determined to put your hand to the plow, you will have that drive not to look back, because if you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. And I want to share something with you that may kind of rock your world, right? When you think about drive, drive is a gift that God gives to us. Hope is a gift that God gives to us. If you don't have the drive to finish something, what you're saying is, I have lost my hope. When God gives us hope, it is a drive that will last forever until we die. That's the kind of drive that he gives us. That's the kind of hope that he gives us. There's an Old Testament passage that I want to refer to just briefly this morning, and you may or may not be familiar with this passage. It's found in Psalm 42, and I want to begin at verse number 5. David is speaking, and as David speaks, he asks two questions. Question number 1, why am I depressed? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Why in the world am I depressed? I've got so many things going for me. Why am I depressed? And then he follows it up with another question. Why do I have this turmoil in me? We could say, why am I so filled with anxiety? So David actually answers his own two questions. And he says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to be depressed. I'm not going to be filled with anxiety. I'm going to put my hope in God. I'm going to still praise him. He's my Savior and he is my God. And then you drop down to verse number 8, Psalm 42. It says, the Lord will send his faithful love by day. His song will be with me in the night. And then you drop to verse number 11 and he asks those same two questions again. Why am I depressed? Why is there so much toil within me? And then he says, put your hope in God. I will still pray, my Savior and my God. I think that David is trying to teach us that we've got to be filled with drive, even when we don't feel like we should be pushing on ahead. So what does he tell us to do? He says, I'm going to still pray. There are some times in life where you can be so discouraged, you don't know what to do. I want to encourage you to pray. And praise God, your Savior, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of depression. You know, you think about depression. A lot of people struggle with depression. As you put your hope in God, it will help to eliminate depression in your life. Depression is not necessarily a sin, but I think that depression can lead to sin. When does it lead to sin? I believe that when we allow depression to enter into our lives in such a way that we lose our hope in God, then we have crossed the line of sinning. Now, I know that some people are more prone to be involved in depression, and me, it maybe struggle more with this than others, and it's kind of like diabetes. Some people are wired more to be prone toward being a diabetic, so they've got to take an extra measure to be careful what they eat, but they can have victory over that, and you can have victory over depression. Now, you may be listening to this broadcast, and you say, well, Pastor, I bet you never struggle with depression. I want you to know that I come from a family that battles depression. I am blessed to be part of a family. There were 7 of us kids in my family. 4 out of the 7 children battled depression. My father battled depression. He was bipolar and clinically depressed, and he had a chemical imbalance that caused him to be depressed. His mom battled anxiety and depression. And so it runs kind of in my family, but if you want to be truthful, it runs in everybody's family. Nobody is immune from this battle of depression, but we don't have to lose hope in the midst of being depressed. And so that's what I want to talk to you about today. How does this driving force within us cause us to be victorious over depression? When I gave this message in my church, I put a PowerPoint slide up for the congregation to see, and it was this quote, if an egg is broken by an outside force, life ends. If it's broken by an inside force, life begins. So when you were saved, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you may not have thought of it like this, but life actually began for you. That hope sprung forth from the inside of you and broke through those strongholds in your life, and you became born again. You became filled with hope. Now, I don't want that hope to diminish. I want that hope to be a driving force in your life until Christ calls you home. So let's talk about 6 factors that will help us to be driven with hope. First of all, hope drives me by helping me to see and to help others. So I'm looking at Romans chapter 15, verse 24. Paul says this, I plan to come see you in Spain. I hope to see you while I'm passing through. And as I am passing through, I hope that you will assist me on my journey there. I have enjoyed your company and look forward to being with you when I come to Spain. So here we see that Paul is going for a purpose to Spain. There is a reason behind what he's doing. You know, if you're a hope-driven person, you always have a purpose for what you're doing. I called somebody the other day, and as they picked up the phone, they said, Pastor, how can I help you? And I said, well, how do you know that I'm looking for help? He said, well, Pastor, every time you call me, you always have a purpose in calling me. You don't just arbitrarily call me. You know, that's so true. We don't generally arbitrarily call people. And Paul is calling on Spain and the believers in Spain and saying, listen, guys, I want you to help me. I want you to see what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to share the gospel, and I need some help doing it. So if you're hope-filled, you're going to see some things that other people don't even see. You're going to offer help in areas that others haven't even seen that opportunity to help yet. So let's look at 3 areas that we are driven to help somebody with. First of all, we're driven to help them in assisting them and giving the gospel to them and making preparations for the gospel to be shared. But you're also driven to have fellowship with them. You know, one of the ways that you know that you're a follower of Christ is that you love hanging out with God's people. I don't know about you, but I really look forward to Sunday morning. Not just because I get to preach. I look forward to Sunday morning because I can't wait to fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I enjoy that fellowship time with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I look forward to that time. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 7. He says, for I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. And here's the word hope. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. So we could call this Paul looking forward to the opportunity to fellowship with the Corinthian believers. And when you think about discipleship is spelled T-I-M-E. Paul is saying to them, I want to spend some time with you and fellowshipping with you so that I can impart into you this vision that I have, this driving force that I have within me through the Holy Spirit. So Paul is spending this time with the Corinthian believers, and he says, man, I want to fellowship with you. There's a third thing that we see that Paul wants to do, and that is he is driven to share. He wants to share something with the Corinthian believers, and this is found in 2 Corinthians 1:7. And as you look at all of these verses, they all have the word hope in them. Paul says, and our hope for you is firm, 2 Corinthians 1:7, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. So here Paul is driven to share. He sees that he has an opportunity to share some things, and it's not all negative, it's not all positive. Paul says that I want to share in your sufferings, but I also want to share in your comfort. We are told that we should weep with those who weep. We ought to rejoice with those who rejoice. That's part of the driving force behind us. Listen, if you're a fair-weathered friend, and you're only coming along and being a friend when things are going well, you're not a very good friend. A great friend walks in when everybody else is walking out. A great friend is there in the good times and the bad times. And Paul is saying to the Corinthian believers, I want to be there to share in your sufferings, but I also want to be there to rejoice and to be a comfort to you when things are not going well and when things are going well. So we see, first of all, if you're a person that has hope, that you ought to be driven to see things and to help others in their time of need. There's another factor behind being a hope-filled, driven person, and that is that you are a very faithful person. That hope within you, that drive within you, causes you to be faithful. You know, you're never going to be a faithful person unless you are filled with faith. What is that faith defined as? Faith is that assurance that God is going to come through. Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, I have the belief in Christ because he has redeemed me, he has saved me. I have that confidence in him, so now I can trust him in areas of my life where I don't see what's going to happen, and no matter how bad things go, I'm going to remain faithful. Oh, my friend, would you be faithful in praying? Tonight, I am going by to see a young man, and I'm going to be sharing the gospel with this young man. I have claimed him as my one that I would like to see saved this year. I'm praying fervently for him, and I sent out a text yesterday to my prayer team, and I said, would you guys pray for this young man as I share the gospel with him? One of the guys on my prayer team got so excited about praying for this guy, he sent me a text back and says, now, Pastor, would it be appropriate if I went with you? And I said, sure, I would love to have you go with me to share the gospel with this man. And so we're praying as we share the gospel tonight that we're going to come back with a powerful testimony of a man being saved, being added to God's kingdom because we prayed for him and we shared the gospel with him. So keep on being faithful. What keeps us being faithful? Colossians 1:27, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Don't you love that verse? Christ in me, the hope of glory. So if you lose your hope, you're going to lose your faithfulness. It is a sin to lose hope. Let's remember that. It is a sin to lose hope. Romans chapter 12, verses 11 through 13 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep yourself, your spiritual fervor alive, serving the Lord. And then Paul uses that word joyful. Be joyful where? In hope. Be patient in affliction. Be faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality, reaching out to those who are in need. Paul says we're driven by joy. 1 Thessalonians 1:3 reminds us that before our God and our Father, our work produces faith, which gives us that opportunity to labor that is prompted by love, and our endurance is inspired by the hope that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're driven by Christ, and we're driven by joy. Be faithful. Sometimes you don't feel like being faithful. Well, be faithful anyway. Realize that Christ is going to empower you as you are faithful. Well, here's the third driving factor behind this concept of being driven by hope, is that a person that is driven by hope has this opportunity to be constantly learning something or constantly being taught something. Romans chapter 15, verse number 4 says, everything that was written, I love this, everything that was written in the past was written for a purpose. What is that purpose? God says, I have given you the word of God. And the reason I give you the word of God is to teach you something, so that through endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. I want you to know something about hope. If you're losing hope today and you feel like you're losing traction and you keep asking yourself, what is the use of me keep pushing on? I don't see any change in my life. I don't see any change in the lives of those around me. I promise you, the reason you're feeling that way is because you're not in the word. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a double-edged sword. Oh, my friend, please get into the word of God, because that is where you're going to find the strength to endure. That is where you're going to find new lessons constantly being taught to you. David said, God's mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Oh, I want you to be strong in your faith. I don't want you to lose hope. One of the ways that you know that you're a strong person, according to Romans chapter 15, I just read verse number 4 to you, and that was a challenge that was given to us, reminding us that what was written in the past was written to teach us something so that we might have endurance through the scriptures. Well, how do I know that I'm really a strong believer? Well, verse number 1 of Romans 15 says, now we who are strong... There it is. Paul is telling us we who are strong are going to have certain characteristics in our lives. So if you've been around for a while, right? If you've been a believer for a while, if you've been saved for a while, you should be strong. A strong believer has certain characteristics. We continue on that verse. He says, we who are strong, we have an obligation. We have an obligation to bear, or we could say forbear, or to be patient with those who are weak. So I want you to know something. If you can't bear the weak, what you're saying is, I'm weak. If you've been around for a while, not only should you be able to bear the weak, be patient with the weak, but you should also be involved in not pleasing yourself. Oh, my friend, a strong sign that you are a mature believer is that you have learned a valuable lesson, and that is, I am not here to please myself. It's not about me. It's about pleasing my neighbor for his good, to build him up. Jesus himself did not come to build himself up. In fact, he said, the insults of those who have insulted you have fallen on me. If you are a hope-driven person, you're constantly being taught new lessons from God's word. We could say that you are driven by the word. You're not driven by circumstances. You're driven by the word. One of my favorite Bible characters, and maybe he's one of your favorite Bible characters as well, is Peter. And I love Peter because when Peter was out on the Sea of Galilee in the middle of a storm, he sees Jesus. And he says, if that's you, Jesus, command me to come out and walk on the water and meet you. And I always tell people that Peter didn't walk on the water. Peter walked on the word. Jesus told them to get out of the boat and walk. He walked on the word. When he stopped believing the word, he got his eyes off of Jesus. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word is God. When he started getting his eyes off of the word, he looked at the storm. And he began to sink. But even as he began to sink, he realized, I've got to cry out to God. And so he says, oh, my Lord and my God, and Christ rescues him. As you're in the word, you're going to be constantly learning new lessons that will help you to not lose hope. Well, here's the fourth thing that we look at if you're driven by hope. And that is, if you're driven by hope, you are ambitious and you're focused. 1 Corinthians 9:10. Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Yes, this was written for us because whoever plows and thrashes should be able to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. Now, this may sound a little bit off to you, right? Because what I'm talking about here is that I am driven and I'm ambitious and I'm hope-filled because I realize there's a reward for doing that. So Paul uses the analogy of the farmer as he goes out there and he plows the field and he prepares for the harvest. He says, because I've worked so hard in producing this harvest, I should be sharing in the harvest. There should be a reward given to me. I'm driven by that reward. And I know this sounds almost like ungodly, that I should be driven by a reward. But I want to ask you a question. How many of you would keep on going to work if you wouldn't get paid? How many of you would continue on with your job without getting paid? And I know that that we need to have money to make our bills, but we also get that reward as we work diligently. We are rewarded for that. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, Paul said, if you're a believer and you don't provide for your own household, you're worse than an infidel, that is an unbeliever. So as believers, we have this drive for reward. And now that's not our only drive, but that's part of why we do what we do. I am driven to share the gospel with people because when I get to heaven, and you may say, Pastor, this is awful carnal what you're talking about. I want to get the soul winner's crown. When I go to heaven, I want to be a recipient of the soul winner's crown. Who is that given to? That's given to those who have shared the gospel with other people that put their faith and trust in Christ. I'm going to get the soul winner's crown, Lord willing, and I hope that you'll get it as well. What is the big tragedy when you think about that? Did you know that 95% of all people who profess Jesus Christ as Savior, 95%, have never personally led another person to the Lord. So that soul winner's crown is, as I see it, only 5% of the believers are going to get that soul winner's crown. Oh, I want to change your mindset. I want you to understand that there are people who are waiting to hear the gospel. One day when I go to heaven, one day when you go to heaven, if you know Christ, I want to be greatly appreciated. I want somebody coming up to me and saying, hey, Pastor Calvin, I know I'm here because of Jesus, but you are the mouthpiece to tell me about Jesus. So I ask you a question today. Is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? Is anybody going to come up to you and say, I'm here because of Jesus, but you share Jesus with me? We are driven by our salvation. If you have truly been born again, you can't help but tell somebody else about what Christ has done for you. Well, there's a fifth thing that I want to share with you as we wrap up our time together. And as we are hope-filled, we are keeping our dreams alive. Romans 4:18 says, against all hope, Abraham believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it has been said to him, so shall your offering be. Now, let's set the context here real quickly. Here we see that Abraham kept that hope alive. The hope that he had was a different hope than the world offers. It says, against all hope. In other words, Abraham was well advanced in age. His wife was beyond childbearing age. And against all hope, it's hopeless for them to have a child at their age. Against all hope, against worldly hope, he put his hope in God, and he has become the father of many nations. You see, he was driven beyond reason. When you have hope, you are driven beyond human reason because that hope isn't given to us by the world. It's an internal hope that is given to us. Ephesians 3:20 says this, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, or we could say above that we ask or hope for, according to the purpose or the power of the words that is in us. To him be glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Well, I want to give you one final thing in just the matter of minute or so that we have left. Hope will also keep you confident. Man, have you lost your confidence today? What you're saying is, I have kind of lost my hope. We should have this undiminished boldness in sharing the gospel with people. We ought to have that confidence that when we share the word of God, it's going to change the lives of other people. Let me close by sharing 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. And if what was transitory, that was temporary, came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Now, we're not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. Paul is telling us, our glory is not fading with time, it's getting stronger. He uses the analogy of Moses, and Moses was able to see the backside of God, and his face was radiant, shining with the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God. He had to put a veil over his face until that glory began to fade. Paul says Moses' glory began to fade, the reflection of God began to fade, but ours never will. That's the hope that we have. Our message will continue on, regardless of what happens around us, regardless of what happens to us. Our message is bigger than our circumstances. Oh, my friend, I want to pray for you today that you will have that confidence, that boldness to share the gospel. Lord, give us boldness today. In Jesus' name, amen.
No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.